This is Stacey Francis Bayman. Fly Hawk have developed a unique 3D kit designer that's fully customizable. So if you're looking for new kit for your team, visit flyhawk.com or email info@flyhawk.com with your ideas.
The Netball Show with Fly Hawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Fly Hawk, the start of the 2024 Super Netball season is upon us. And Britt Carter from ABC and the Netty Life joins us. Britt, always good to hear from you.
Thank you for having me, Andy. I love catching up with you whenever I can.
You were at the launch event for the league the other day, weren't you, in Sydney ahead of the season? So speaking to the players as well, how are they feeling ahead of this? And from reading online as well, what did you take from what the players said?
Well, I don't think anyone really wanted to win the pre-season event. I mean, I spoke to Bryony Akle, I spoke to some of the Swiss staff, and I didn't get a chance to specifically chat with a Swiss player, but I know Vixens had that same kind of idea and both those teams made the final. So nobody particularly wanted to win the Team Girls Cup, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, the team that wins never seems to go on and win the actual Super Netball season, so I think there is this idea that there may be a curse there. Generally, the team that finishes runner-up then goes on to win the actual season. So if we follow that pattern, then potentially the Vixens are going to win this year, knowing they finished runners-up to the Swifts. But I think the other thing is that there's only $10,000 prize money. That's Australian money. So split that in half and that would be pounds for you guys in the UK. So it's not a lot of money on offer. So I think a lot of teams just went into this weekend with the idea of trialing combinations, getting some of the young players out on court, just trying to get some of that match play in because we've had a really short pre-season here. So I don't think anybody was, dying to win it or dying to do really well. I think they're all hoping that they can peak at the back end of the Super Netball season.
I love a good cause reference as much as anybody else. And you said it was a case of forgive and not forgotten between clubs and Netball Australia. Yeah, one of those, are you heading into it?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I went to the captain's call, which was on the day before the Team Girls started, Team Girls Cup started. So they had all the captains at the season launch and, just had a chance to say to the players, how are you feeling after everything that happened last year? Because as everyone here knows, but maybe it's not as obvious back in the UK, a lot of our players went without pay for 11 weeks at the end of last year leading into Christmas because we could just not get a CPA sorted between Netball Australia and the players. And there was this really big deal about revenue share and the players really wanted a piece of the pie. And eventually they did get it. So they held out for 11 weeks and in their eyes, it was worth it. In their eyes, they hope that the negotiations and the damaging way that played out in the media really publicly hasn't hurt the sport, but they thought it was their time to take a stand and really set up the sport for future generations of players coming through. So, at that captain's call in particular, I was really interested to see how they felt with time, and it seems like they're all ready to turn over a new leaf and just hopefully this year focus on what's happening actually on court.
And definitely Team Girls Cup was needed as a bit of a buffer between all that went on and the start of the proper season, just to almost draw a line under it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, the good thing is that there was arguments about whether that CPA deal sorted for Super Netball was going to be 1 year or whether it was going to be 3 years. And so it has been locked in for 3 years, the current pay deal. So we won't be talking about any of this stuff, at least we hope, for another 3 years. So in that sense, I think it does let the dust settle, knowing that the players got what they wanted, the organisation got what it wanted in terms of a longer deal. And so that should take us to the end of the broadcast arrangement with Fox Netball. And then we can see where we're at and where the relationship's at in 3 years' time. But there'll be fresh leadership at Netball Australia too this year because we're seeing the CEO go. We've got an interim CEO in place until they can find the right person for the job and the one they want to carry us through this next period, because we've got a World Cup here in the next cycle. It's going to be hosted in Sydney in 2027. So yeah, we really need to get that right. And there's been a few changes on the board and things like that. So it does hopefully provide a chance for these netballers to form some new relationships with the people that run the sport and just bring some fresh ideas in with some of those new board members.
Don't worry, I've already started saving.
I better see you here in Sydney, Andy, because typically we only get to see each other at the big events, say Commonwealth Games at a World Cup. So I am very much hoping that you will be in Sydney.
Do you think everything that would have gone on have much effect on Suncorp this season? Would it have turned many people away from it? Or now that the new season is almost upon us, we can just focus on the league and get back to supporting our favourite side?
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's the last option you just alluded to there. And the players certainly seem to think that although it was damaging towards the end there where we had both players and Netball Australia coming out to the media and giving their version events, although that was kind of damaging to the sport because, you know, things like them sending the Diamonds team a legal notice that they must attend the awards night, like that just is not a great look. So. Yeah. I think that fresh leadership coming through will have a new head of the sport. Things like that, making sure that the relationship is strong again, will mend everything that's gone on in the past 12 months, 3 years. I mean, it's been a very messy 3 to 4 years for the sport. But I hope that fans understand why players did that. And I hope that we can turn a new leaf for 2024, but I can't speak for everyone, and I don't know whether some parents now will be potentially pushing their girls to play football, say, and that's soccer here for us in Australia. The Matildas are probably the most popular team we have here in the country, men or women's at the moment. Everybody love the Matildas. They've sold out 13 games straight at big venues here. Yeah. So That's the biggest competition I see for netball at the moment. And we don't like to play that code wars all the time because we do like to lift all women's sport up. But I do think that participation-wise, if netball is going to see people leave and go and play another sport, it probably is going to be football at this stage.
Team Girls Cup then, obviously plenty to take from it. What did you make of Mavs on the first outing?
Yeah, I feel for them. I really do because they've copped two major injury blows on the eve of the season. They've got a couple of weeks now to find senior replacements and lock that in and get cracking. They've lost Laura Moore to an ACL that happened at the Team Girls Cup. And they've also lost Sasha Glasgow to a compound fracture, which is not good news for England as well when it comes to the Roses lineup. So Tracy Neville is really up against it. There's no denying that, but she is a very smart coach. And from what I did see from them beyond the injuries, I think there were real patches of brilliance from them. So they've it looks like a South African may join them and take Sasha's spot in Rolien Strootka. She was brilliant on court, didn't skip a beat, had only been in Australia about a week before she got to play for the Mavs in the Team Girls Cup, and she looks like someone that is going to be one to watch this year. So I hope she gets a contract. But there's still some things up in the air with them. So who will take Lauren Moore's spot? There's no clear defender, I think, that slots in for them. And so that's, I think, the question for them at the moment, what's going to happen with their roster. But Eleanor Cardwell looks solid. We saw some really good patches, I think, in the midcourt as well. So, yeah, I've got a big question mark over the Mavs now. I'm a bit worried about how they're shaping up for 2024.
What about Lizzie Watson, Courtney Bruce for Lightning? They would have got court time.
Yeah, they did. And Courtney Bruce just hit the ground running. I thought she slotted into the lineup really well. And she is playing under Belinda Reynolds, who was a previous assistant coach at the West Coast Fever. So she's familiar with the coaching style that she's come to play in now. And I think that reflected in the way that she just slotted into the team really nicely because Belinda Reynolds would know what Courtney Bruce is all about and what she needs to get up for a game. So I'm sure that all of that has kind of helped Bruce make that transition from green to yellow. Lizzie Watson is an interesting prospect because I did find that there were pockets of the game where she was stuck in the same hole as another mid-quarter and it wasn't quite as smooth as I would have thought it might be at this point in the preseason. But we've got to remember that these Diamonds players had commitments in England for the Nations Cup in January. They didn't get officially signed till December last year because of that CPA dispute, and then they had Christmas. So they really haven't linked up with their team properly until February, which means they've had a month at best together as a unit. So I think for Lizzie Watson, there's some more work to do, but she is the best swing attack, in my opinion, in the game. And yeah, there's a reason for that. So she should work herself out. It's just trying to find where she sits in this team. And I think she might have had something like 12 general play turnovers or 14, something like that, for the 3 days in four games of netball at the Team Girls Cup. So, yeah, you would expect that turnover to be a bit lower because she was their leading player for turnovers, unfortunately. So there's a fair bit of work there to do for Lizzie Watson, but she's a classy player, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time it all falls into place.
Hiya, it's Fran Williams here.
Back with Britt Carter from ABC and the Net Your Life podcast. Britt, talking about the Sun Girls Cup, and crowd numbers were up, weren't they? But maybe could have been better still.
Yeah, I think so. So they doubled what they were able to get last year on the Gold Coast. So the official crowd across 3 days in Sydney was 7,707. It's a number that you can not forget. Once it's in your head, it's stuck there. The unfortunate thing for the Team Girls Cup, and I don't know if Netball Australia even had this on their radar when they booked the venue and the timing of it, but we have an annual Royal Easter show here every year, and it kind of runs over a week to 2 week period where a lot of farming animals come, and there's things like wood chopping contests, and yeah, we just have a lot of fun stuff around the country vibes and
barbecues.
This show, there's more like corn on the cob and corn dogs and, you know, chips on a stick, and so it's very like fair carnival vibes, I would say. Yeah. There's rides there and things like that. So that is very popular here in Sydney, and it happens once a year. And Team Girls Cup started on the exact same day that the Royal Easter Show started in Sydney. So what it meant was, in the precinct of Sydney Olympic Park in Homebush, where both of those locations are, there was no parking for people. It was really difficult. And it's also in a spot in Western Sydney that, with public transport, it can be quite difficult to get to. So from where I live, I would have had to swap train lines 3 times to get there, and it's an over an hour trip. And no matter where you are in Sydney, it does seem to be about that hour long trip on public transport with a couple of changes. So it kind of puts people off going there if they can't get a park, and that made things difficult with the Easter show. So I definitely think the numbers could have been better if it was on a different weekend. And I think, having spoken to some fans too, Netball Australia could do a bit of work around this event when it comes to the things they offer outside of the game. So if you were there for the full weekend and you wanted to be there morning, middle of the day, night, and you were looking for breakfast, lunch and dinner, there weren't many options. There were, say, donuts, there was Goslemi, I think I've said that right. There just wasn't a lot of food options to cater to people. So you would have got sick of the food options maybe by the first day, and then thought, there's not a lot for me here. In terms of merch, there was the local teams, but I don't think we had, say, Fever, Mavs, Vixens. I didn't see any interstate team merchandise there for people to buy. And the entertainment was really focused towards young girls. So we had some signings from each of the teams, I guess, which anybody at any age can get around. But the rest of it was kind of like, yeah, activations, I think, for the younger generation of viewers. So I think there's some other things that Netball Australia can look at to bring people and encourage them to come to Team Girls Cup and make it a better event. But at the same time, they saw growth year on year. So that's a positive.
And overall, just seeing Sammy back at Swift already, played that goal a couple of times, just really special for her. And yeah, good for her, and good for Swift to get that win at home.
I mean, that was my favourite moment of the weekend, Sammy Wallace-Joseph getting her first goal in about 2 years for the Swifts. And it was at the same end of the court, same patch of court that she did her ACL in 2022. And yet, when that goal went through, she just had the biggest smile on her face and the crowd went wild for her. And so that was a really lovely moment. And I think the Swiss this year, I know they won that Team Girls Cup, and at the start of our chat, we were speaking about how the teams didn't actually want to win. But I think the biggest thing for them this year is that they've got so much consistency about their roster, and that means that they're really stable with all their connections. There's nothing really new happening on court for them. I mean, Sam Wallace-Joseph has obviously been with the Swifts for a very long time, so even though she is coming back from injury, they've all played with her before. So in a way, it just feels like a year for them to crack on. Like, if things just keep rolling for them, they don't really have to adapt too much. And I think that's potentially why we saw them so slick at the Team Girls Cup, because there was no new really that they had to get their heads around. So they look really good and really sharp for 2024.
If you want even more Team Girls Cup review, there's a new episode of the Netty Life Online with Kate, and also you as well, Britt, isn't there?
There is indeed. Yes, we're back for another season. We'll officially have our Super Netball preview in a couple of weeks, in the week before the season starts. But we just wanted to touch on Team Girls Cup, of course, and there's always so many talking points coming out of the game, so we didn't want to miss out on those.
Excellent, Britt. Thank you as always.
Thanks, Andy.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.